February 18, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere a Mulberry, episode 25.
Culture District of Mulberry. Here's your host, the J Strong.
Come on! Come on!
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Greetings, program.
Jesus Christ! That was a little ridiculous.
A little overkill with drop wise, Foggy.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nowhere in Mulberry, the pop culture podcast where we talk movies and television. The weekly commentary, if you will. Because we do commentate every week. We are here in the Culture District. I got my apple fritter. I got my soda pop. And Steven is back here in Mulberry. Welcome back, Steven.
Thank you. Good to be back.
It's nice to see you are still alive and not just a voice.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever that meant. I don't know. You know, it's nice for you to be back. Are you slowly losing your mind traveling so much?
Yes. I'm not slowly. It's going pretty fast.
You just got back from Fremont? Is that what you said?
Fremont, California, just outside of Oakland, San Francisco area.
Hello, Frisco.
It's nice that you're back. Thanks, Foggy. Now, hey, Vanessa, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great.
On Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 25.
Yes.
Guys, we've done 25 shows.
25.
I know, it's amazing.
25. Wow. Dude,
and
we're like...
we can't run anybody off.
We're over, like, a season. Usually, you know, TV shows are like 22 episodes. I think now they cut them down to like 8 episodes or something.
So when's our hiatus?
To 13. Yeah, when's our hiatus, you know?
Good question.
I need one now.
I don't know!
Now, guys, speaking of seasons and all that, that new show, Love Monkey, with Tom Cavanaugh, he used to be on Ed on NBC, which is a great show. I was really getting into that. They aired 3 episodes and all of a sudden canceled.
Gone.
Really?
Yeah, and all they did was they made 8 episodes.
Poor Jason Priestley. Can't keep a show going.
They were going to air 8 episodes. You know, and that would have been the season. That's all they ordered. They couldn't even get through 3 episodes.
That's
and
sad.
Did you like it?
And that, yeah, I did. But the first 2 episodes were kind of okay because, you know, not everything's great right away. But you got to get to know the customers.
They're keeping that Seth Green project going, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, the Four Kings. What a disaster
blowing
that
somebody.
Is. I know, that's horrible. But by the 3rd episode, hey, it was getting a lot better. And it was ridiculous. I mean...
where was that airing on? What channel?
It was on CBS. Okay. Now, how does this network, how does a network expect people to jump onto a show that's a new creation and get into it? And this is another thing. It's about the ratings, right? What I heard was the death knell for it was that a new episode of Love Monkey lost out to Law & Order SVU, and it was a rerun of Law & Order.
Wow, that's bad.
But I will say this. Some a-hole represents me who has a TiVo box, and that has always gotten on my nerves. There's a guy who represents me.
Your voting capacity.
Yeah, who is watching Fear Factor or some crap like that that I would never watch. And that's just BS. The rating system sucks.
Come on!
Exactly. Come on.
So many years ago, I got invited to do like a 2-week study or something like that.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they
did you do it?
They give you a little calendar to write down what TV
That's
shows,
a great
and you have
thing.
To mail it in.
Sweet.
So,
now,
I mean, that was 10 or 15.
There's so much mysteriousness around the whole Nielsen's ratings box that they select, only certain people get selected. You know, it just sounds very fishy to me, and I just think it's all a bunch of crap.
Yeah, network families.
Yeah, I mean, come on. All these reality shows and crap. And, you know, I'll watch a reality show if it's entertaining or whatever, but I like narrative hour-long dramas and stuff. And everything is a freaking crime procedural. That's the only thing that succeeds. The CSIs and Law and Orders.
That's because it makes dumb people feel smart.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I knew that she killed him. Ooh.
Well, guess what? They showed it at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, they showed you on the previews, lady. Now, another thing that kind of annoyed me, guys, irked me, was, okay, we changed hosts, and that's cool. We finally changed hosts. We changed our feed. We got people resubscribing to the show. Hopefully, everyone could get it. And the reason that I did in the first place, because the host I was using had a payment system that charged me per gigabyte. People go, yeah, that's a pretty bad idea. But at the time when you're starting a show, you don't think enough people are going to listen to use 5 gigabytes, let alone 50, which ended up happening. I canceled it 2 days ago. The very next day, I get an email from our old host saying, now offering unmetered bandwidth. Just send an email and request to be switched over to this new service. And I was like,
you son of a...
Come on!
Are you kidding me? Man, God, I was just... It's so annoying. Let me just say that. You know, it annoyed the crap out of me. It sucked the life out of me, truthfully.
If you'd have just been a worse procrastinator.
I know. I am Switch. I'm not going back to the old company. Just too little too late. And the thing that kind of annoyed me about that is I even sent them an email saying, hey, you know, just wanted to let you know that bandwidth is killing me right now. Is there any plans on changing your different plans and stuff? Because it's not very podcast friendly when you get like 1,500 downloads or something like that. And it was like, some discussion has been made, but nothing in the near future. Sorry, it didn't work out for you. Basically, which
well,
telling
well, there's their near future is like tomorrow.
Yeah, they could have told me in the next month we'll be implementing. If they just would have said that, but instead it was like, sorry, it didn't work out for you, which was basically telling me, you know, go F yourself is what I thought. That was it, and I moved, and then this happened. So, kiss my ass, Foggy.
Kiss my ass.
Exactly. Kiss my ass. I got nothing.
Vanessa.
Steve, are you going to have to go out of town again this week?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man. When are they going to let you stay home?
Pretty soon.
Where are they making you go this week?
I'm going right back to good old...
Hello, Frisco.
Thank you, Foggy.
Ah, finally, his timing is back. I guess he was out to lunch or something. Well,
yeah, I'll be back there for another week, and then I'll back home next weekend.
Now, before we move on to the rest of the show, did you guys hear who won the Westminster Dog Show? It was Rufus. Let's check this out.
Okay, we've named them all.
It doesn't matter who I like. It matters who this guy likes.
Here we go.
Best in show at the 130th Annual Westminster Dog Show is the Colored Bull Terrier.
Colored Bull Terrier.
Rufus!
Yay, Rufus!
Yay!
We have never had a Bull Terrier go best in show at Westminster. Rufus makes history.
All right, Rufus,
this is history,
go. And
it's exciting.
He's won a lot of big shows.
I am so excited.
But this is the biggest show, Rufus.
Yay.
Yeah, I had a big party afterwards.
Whoa, Rufus, calm down there. Does anyone care about the Westminster Dog Show? I've seen this dog do more rounds than like a movie star when they got a movie coming out. I've seen this dog on
everywhere.
Like Today's Show, Tonight Show, or
Regis and Kelly.
People who do this circuit, they take their dogs everywhere. The dogs are their lives, and these people are freaky.
Yeah.
I've spent $100,000 on my dog this year.
I don't understand it myself. All right, let's do entertainment, guys. You want to do that? Missouri for. It's entertainment, baby. Hey, guys, I want to talk about Will Ferrell for a second, because, Steven, you love Will Ferrell, yet you hate him. It's like a love-hate relationship,
yes.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, you loved him in Old School.
Yes.
Yeah. You hated him with a passion in Anchorman. So you'll agree that sometimes he hits, sometimes he misses.
Right.
Am I the only one who didn't like Anchorman?
No, I hated
it. Steven hated it with a friggin' passion. He brought it over on DVD, and he goes, "Here, you can have this." And he threw it at me.
I didn't even want to see. I didn't want to.
And it was on fire at the time.
I was ashamed to own it at the time.
And it was the full screen version.
You actually bought a full screen version?
So Steven's telling me what a horrible movie this is, and I think it's kind of like it can work in the opposite when someone plays up a movie. This is the best movie you'll ever see, and then you watch it and go, "It's not that great." Instead, it was like, this isn't that bad. It's kind of funny, you know. So I think Steven made it sound so horrible that I was expecting that, and then I was pleasantly surprised and amused. It is a ridiculous, stupid movie, but there were parts that made me laugh.
I laughed twice in it, and it took 45 minutes for me to laugh the first time.
Yeah, that was me too. I agree with you, Steven.
When Jack Black punted the dog off the bridge.
Yeah, that's how I roll. Yeah. Now, he has a new movie that's not coming out till August, but the trailer just went up online, and I thought it looked pretty funny. It's called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby, where he plays a NASCAR driver. Now, we heard about this a couple of months ago, and I was like, oh, God. But it actually looks pretty funny. Let's check it out.
As a boy...
All right, honey, you sit tight. I'm gonna go grab some milk real quick.
Ricky Bobby had a one-track mind.
I'm gonna go fast. Ricky! I'm going fast.
30 years later, nothing's changed.
Mama, I'm going fast!
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Hey, driver!
Woo! Please be 18. Dear Lord, baby Jesus, I want to thank you for my family, my two beautiful sons, Walker and Texas Ranger, and of course my red hot smoking wife.
Mm.
This summer.
This is a big, hairy American winning machine.
That's awesome.
I know.
You don't have to be quick.
We go together like Chinese food and chocolate pudding.
Hey, Cal, those are two things that don't really go together.
If I say peanut butter and...
Ladies.
Yeah. Jelly.
Jelly?
You like to put jelly on a lady?
To be fast.
I feel like a mongoose stalking its prey.
From the guys who brought you Anchorman.
Well, the big news is the NASCAR has gone French.
I am coming for you, Ricky Bobby.
And the 40-year-old virgin.
You want me to sign your microphone?
Feel free.
Absolutely, ma'am. I'd love to sign your baby. You're not going to want to wash that forehead.
Will Ferrell is Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, it's the real deal down there.
Ricky Bobby is not a thinker.
You don't drive with your eyes. You got to feel the road.
Ricky Bobby is a driver.
I'm embarrassed. I really thought I could feel it.
Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby.
Oh, I love this car. It's Christmas.
Fire! You're not on fire, Ricky Bobby!
Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jewish God! Help me, Tom Cruise!
Now,
finally, a funny part I heard.
Now, what do you guys think?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if they do it right, but I mean, the part that just kind of pulled me clean out was, it's Walker and Texas Ranger.
Is that just over too much?
Too much redneck.
Yeah.
Yeah, too hard.
You know, you can do redneck the right way, and you can do it where it's too much, and it's the wrong way. I think that My Name is Earl walks the fine line there.
Yeah.
Or that's more white trash than redneck,
yeah.
I guess. There is that fine line. Sometimes it goes over it where it's like, okay, we get it, white trash or whatever. But who knows? Maybe someone's named their kid.
Run, Ronnie, Run was a good rednecky.
But like kind. Joe Dirt, little over.
Is a little overkill.
You know.
Well, let me ask you this. Does it drive you crazy when they do commercials for movies?
Get her done.
They'll do the from the producer or from the ones who brought you blood. It's like the person was probably like the caterer on the set, and they put their name in there if it's a successful movie. From the gaffer of,
from two of the writers that brought you Scary Movie.
Yeah,
it's like
that movie. What
the
is
date
it?
Movie?
Date movie. Man, it's getting universally panned, and it wasn't even released for preview. So it's like, I think now studios, they'll say, you know what? Let's not let reviewers see it because this is a real turd. So, but it's like the people who are going to
pay for it.
The people who are going to see these movies, teenagers, they don't care about reviews anyway. Just let them review it, you know.
I mean, most of the reviewers I see they want these. They read and talk about these highbrow movies.
Yeah,
know,
like
and
this week it'll probably be Date Movie is number one, most likely. Last week it was Final Destination 3. Which, with the most ridiculous title I've ever heard, Final Destination 3. The third Final Destination.
Hello!
Yeah, I guess I'm stupid. But
another Final
Destination.
They
keep making stupid movies, and they're number one, but the movie like Firefly, doesn't happen. I mean, what kind of... a movie like... Sorry, Vanessa, I know you're a brown coat like that.
Josh!
Exactly.
Starkiller.
Eugene Starkiller. Thank you for that correction. But I'll look on message boards and stuff, and it'll be like, yeah, Dukes of Hazzard, that was horrible. I went to go see it for Jessica Simpson. It's like, did you really? Are you really that pathetic? I'm going to go look at a hot chick's ass. I'm going to go see a horrible movie just to see that. Like, is that how Jessica Alba keeps acting? I mean, yeah, she's gorgeous. She's got a hot body, but, I mean, come on.
You have to draw the line.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Is Into the Blue really worth going to pay like 30 bucks or whatever? You know, you get your popcorn, got all this, and then you're in the theater, you're watching it, and go, yeah, she's got a nice ass. What the hell am I doing here, though? Couldn't I just look up on Maxim.com or something? But I mean, I keep seeing that, well, I'll go see it because so-and-so's hot in it. It's like, no, you won't. Just shut up, all right?
I love Hugh Jackman.
Go buy some porn. What'd you say about jacking what?
I love you, Jackman. I'd love to X his men.
Good times.
Like, did you say, hey, I'm going to go see Van Helsing because he's such a beefcake?
A beefcake?
Is that a word?
It's like Dreamboat. It's just not used anymore.
Tall, dark, and handsome.
His purple satin butt pants.
Yeah, Van Helsing. Van Helsing in his purple satin butt pants. Would you?
Like the Van is Helsing. Oh.
That's a great thing.
You'd like to van his Helsing? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty bad, isn't it?
Looks like sex in here.
Okay, anyway, I don't even know what we were talking about anymore. Let's check out What's on Your TiVo. Now, Vanessa, hey, before we check out the week's shows that we always talk about and bore people with, Paula Abdul was recently on Dr. Phil, and she's had a lot of love problems. And I have a clip.
If you let them in too soon, you can sabotage them because they're not ready for it yet. And they can be indelicate with it. And that, for you, is a deal breaker.
Indelicate is the key word in that. It's hurtful. That's hurtful. Because I'm a real caring, empathetic person, and I would never do that to them.
And as I was watching this, she's had a lot of bad luck, and she went on a couple of dates while on Dr. Phil, and he's trying to get her to, you know, you can't let these men walk all over you. And I realized, you know who would be perfect for Paula Abdul? Steven, you're single.
There you go.
You would be
straight up, now tell me.
You wouldn't be a cold-hearted snake. You would be...
No, sure.
You got opposites attract. You guys could really belong together.
That snort will get her.
I think you should rush and give her a call. Oh, man. Gosh. Oh.
Okay, here, I'm going to strangle you.
All right, it's over. No more of that.
It's over, Johnny.
So anyway, Steven, here's her number. Go call Paula.
I thought you were going to say it was for Foggy.
Now, guys, let's get into Smallville. Hey. Smallville Cyborg.
You dirty, filthy cyborg.
Yes, he was a dirty, filthy cyborg, wasn't he, Steven?
Yes.
Now, it starts out with a black guy who's strapped to a table. And I was like, huh? What is this show about? And a scientist sets him free and says, this is wrong. You need to go. And, of course, Lana's driving by and she crashes into him. With Lana just attracts trouble. I mean, I don't think Superman...
She attracts guys with secrets.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I don't think anyone should date her because they're always going to be like, Lana! You know, like, oh my God, what happened? So anyway, this guy is fine. She's like, hey, I hit you with a car and you seem fine.
I hit you going almost 40 miles an hour and you're not dead.
She tells Clark about it and Clark goes to talk to him. And it turns out Clark recognizes the guy. He was a football player who played with another high school who was killed in a horrible car accident.
Or thought to have been
and
killed.
It's very sad, Vanessa. His entire family was killed. Even he was. But he was brought back to life, apparently, right?
Mm-hmm. Or he was not quite dead.
Yeah, he would have died.
He would.
So they replaced his body parts. Now, this character, the Cyborg, there's the DC Comics Cyborg who's in the Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And this is that same guy. They even show a part where Clark looks at him with X-ray vision and you see the metal bionic parts and
the
red
eye on the outside, yeah.
Did it go ch-ch-ch-ch-ch every time he did something?
Yeah, and it turns out company...
That's
what is it,
Austin that does that.
I know.
Semitimatech or something like that is doing the experiments on him.
Semitimatech?
And guess who...
Yeah, it was the most awkward name ever.
Semitimatech. And they kept saying, no, I don't think that Semitimatech... No, Semitimatech did. And I was like, what the hell is this ridiculous word they keep saying? But it turns out, guess who owns it? Lex Luthor, who denies all of it. He has nothing to do with it. What happens is Cyborg Smith, I think is his name. No, what was
Cyborg
his?
Smith?
I don't remember.
Victor.
Yeah, Victor. Victor had a girlfriend, which he goes to visit. Who naturally they predicted he'd be there, so they capture him. He goes willingly because he's bleeding oil all over the floor.
He's been shot with a rail gun.
Right, and he was shot with a space rail gun.
That's so stupid.
Vanessa, this is a great show.
Oh, now, sorry.
Now, what happens is...
Error, examine.
Yeah, he's saying error, examine, and they plug up his oil leak. And, of course...
I bet they do.
Clark shows up just in time to kick all their asses, and there's this great scene, Steven... where him and Victor jump off the building and they land and it creates
side by side and crush the concrete. Yeah,
there's like cracks in the concrete. It was awesome. And there's the obligatory scene where Clark confronts Lex again and Lex is like, hey, we won't bother the guy anymore.
It's
because
the guy's house who he never locks his door.
Yeah, he always bursts in. But there's a whole subplot, Steven. Martha Kent is being blackmailed. She was mailed this cool little nifty portable DVD player.
Chain letter.
And I wish I could have got one of those. Yeah, somebody blackmail me with a DVD player.
Yeah, exactly. We were watching this.
Consolation prize.
Steve was like, yeah, she's being blackmailed, but she doesn't get to keep that DVD player. It's like, yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm getting blackmailed, but damn. This
is $1,000 portable DVD.
I can watch movies on the go now. And, you know, they keep showing what it is. Some girl's on the ground, an explosion happens, and we all know what it is. And I kept saying, oh, we know what it is, or whatever. I'm real obnoxious like that during Smallville. I can write it. I can predict it. I'm like the medium on the show. But what ends up happening is she has to pay this ransom, or they'll let everyone know that her son can save Lana from explosions. I don't know what this
is. But Lana
this
needs
freaking
to be caught
video.
In a bikini in an explosion next time.
Yeah. Lionel Luthor helps her. He intervenes in the drop-off point and says he'll help her and he'll take care of it. And, of course, we know he's behind the whole thing because it's to bring them both together because he has the hots for Martha. What do you think about that, Steven?
Oh, yeah.
Remember, his head was... Lionel Luthor's head was shaved just like, what, like
two episodes ago?
Yeah, he's grown a whole head of hair again. That didn't...
It was like last season when he was in jail.
Exhausted. Right. So anyway, I hope there's a spinoff called Cyborg on the WB.
I think he's got cyborg hair. He grows at enormous rate.
Now, Steven,
it's like tinsel.
If there was a cyborg TV show, would you watch it?
It does not go.
Oh, and there's this great part. For some reason, Chloe is wearing like a push-up bra with lots of cleavage. Need Bill here to comment on this because I'm like, is this really professional? She's got her breast popping out of her blouse.
Professional.
How do you think
me?
She gets things done?
And guess what she does? She hops on her computer again.
And with the camera panning right at her breast.
Yeah. Oh, the cameraman is like, and close up.
Chloe, call me.
And Chloe's even like, so what is...
Her name would be Allison.
She's like, so what did this brother look like? Some cross between Tay Diggs? And no, it's like, uh-oh.
One to Tay Diggs.
Yeah, one to Tay Diggs. And I was like, uh-oh, Chloe likes the dark meat. So maybe they'll explore that storyline.
He has a girlfriend.
That's true. So. But it doesn't mean she won't date other black men.
Oh, that's true.
Hopefully we'll see that coming up soon. All right, let's go on to another show, and that's called 24. Now, on this episode of 24, Jack decides, you know, we know what happened last week where the guy got killed by his Russian slave girl. So Jack has to fill in and be the guy who delivers a chip to the terrorists to help them arm this thing. This is like plot filler, I guess. Like, these terrorists are horrible. They're like, oh, we need a stupid chip to set this off. And so Jack needs to pretend to be the guy. So naturally, they send Jack there. And
but it's like a chip out of his watch or something. It's not the real chip.
No, it's the real chip. And it's going to work. What the idea is for them to give him the chip, and then they'll follow him, and then they'll find the rest of the gas. But what happens is they make him get in the car by gunpoint. You're going to make sure this works with us. And they take him to the local mall, the Galleria. And
Sunset Hills.
They're going to set off the gas in the mall and kill everyone. What happens is the guy at CTU, Lynn, he decides that, you know, maybe we need to let them set this off and kill everyone. It's only like, what, how many people was it? Like 900?
Yeah.
Not that many.
Who cares?
Yeah. But it'll save millions. It'll save thousands to millions if they set off the rest of the gas. So the idea is for him to cooperate, set off the gas, kill everyone in the mall. And then they'll follow them to the canisters and everything will be fine. But this is what happens.
Enter the correct code, Jack. That's an order. Jack, this is a direct order from the president. Now enter the correct code and let them release the gas. Now!
It's not on the canister.
Why isn't it working? Maybe the remote's been damaged. Make it work, but I'll kill you.
There's nothing I can do.
Make it work! I told you there's nothing I can do!
So, Jack ignores the order from the President of the United States and does not set it off. The guys do release the gas anyway, but he turns it off in time. And there was another cool kill. So, Jack snapped the guy's neck with his feet.
Ouch! Yeah.
How sweet was that?
Solid snake style.
Yeah. So, some of the gas got loose, but he did save a lot of people.
Did anyone die from the gas?
They
just got sick had, like, and threw up.
They 11 were, or 12 people.
They were giving him, like, the adrenaline shots in the heart and stuff, because Jack saved a little girl and gave her the shot in the heart. Sweet. It was awesome. Jack can do anything.
And you're too late, because you give love a bad name.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Shotgun.
So anyway, great episode. And so far, Kim, his daughter, has not shown up. But are you guys getting the feeling she is going to show up sometime soon?
I hope not.
She's going to be bad.
They do get to follow one of the guys who's running. Badger realizes that he's being followed, so he goes, "You know what to do." So the terrorist shoots himself, and they
leave. Is that his voice? "You know what to do."
Yeah, you know what to do. And he shoots himself, so now they're screwed. And Lynn, Samwise Gamgee, is very pissed at Jack. And it looks like on the previews, whenever I hear these words, "Take Bauer into custody," I'm like, oh, no, not again. How often does he get taken into custody on this show?
It's only 24
agent.
Hours.
Can't they? Hopefully this, like every episode this season so far, those little storylines only last a few minutes, which I'm hoping this does. Take him into custody. All right, uncuff him. Okay, you're free to go. It's like, oh, thank God. It looks like he's going to make friends with the Forever Night vampire guy next week, so we'll see what happens. You guys really didn't watch that show, huh, Forever Night?
No.
Great show. I'll tell you another great show, and it's getting better each week, and that's Lost. As usual with Lost, it's best to play a clip. Let's check it out.
Over here!
It's one of them.
I have no idea what she's talking about.
You're making a serious mistake.
Wait!
Oh! They'll crossbow to the back.
It's no good to be dead.
Yeah, exactly.
You talk to him, sir. As I recall.
Do that voodoo that you do.
John, wake up.
4 months ago, we crashed, my wife and I.
Your wife, where is she?
She died.
What the hell's going on here?
Russo trapped him in the jungle. She believes he's an other. Does Jack have the combination to the armory?
For now, he does.
How long would it take for you to change it?
Why doesn't anyone tell Jack their plans on this? Everyone hides everything from him.
Because he's such a
wuss. Well, where do you think we should put him?
I say we put him in the armory. It's secure.
Okay.
Sounds like Cyborg needing oil.
It's a dirty, filthy side.
Hey, what the hell are you doing?
Give me your hands. You said you buried your wife. Tell me where.
Where are you?
Where?
In the jungle.
How deep? How many shovelfuls of earth? Did you use your hands? How long did it take you?
I don't remember.
You would remember. You would remember if you buried the woman you loved.
Genocide? That time in the
this
month.
This is all a mistake.
Hurting me isn't gonna bring her back.
Better you make me feel better.
Tell me how to
do it. Open it now,
John. This has to happen.
You open that damn door, you understand me? You open it now.
No.
Uh-oh. Time to input the code.
30 seconds left.
Okay. Right, 15 left.
You think I'm stupid, you're opening it.
Oh shit.
No.
Oh, enter. Cop out. What do you mean? You couldn't reset it that late.
He is one of them.
Yeah? Did he tell you that?
No.
Then how do you know?
How do you know he's not?
Because I know.
I know because I feel no guilt for what I did to him.
The guy was definitely.
But there is no way I can ever explain that to Jack or even Locke. Because both of them have forgotten. Forgotten? What?
That you were strung up by your neck and left for dead. That Claire was taken and kept for days during which God only knows what happened to her. So tell me, Charlie. Have you forgotten?
And it wasn't until he said that that I realized that's a lot of our complaints, viewers' complaints, and me especially. It seems like they don't really talk about stuff that happened previously. And maybe they're writing that in like, some plot holes. Let's have it where they can't remember stuff. Like they lose their memory or something.
Conveniently forget all these things happen to us.
When the counter reached zero, it was
hieroglyphics.
Egyptian hieroglyphics appeared. One final one didn't come over, and that's why I guess he had time to hit execute and then reset it. From online, it looks like, from what some people have found, is that it means to cause death, or basically the translation they might need is you die. Like it goes that, and then it goes you die, and you could hear something powering up. Something was going to happen. What the hell was it? And
the magnetic
reset.
Field.
What do you think it was?
Death ray.
I think it was the ice cream machine.
Yeah, I was like, and Coke. Oh, that's all it was. Your sandwich is ready.
It was the Tesla death ray.
Yeah. But I thought this was a good episode because it was a Saeed episode with the flashbacks in Desert Storm. And we had the Kurgan there.
I know. He was horrible.
Mr. Krabby. SpongeBob. And he does a lot of voice work. That stuff was great. He basically, this is how he learned how to torture people. He even says, now if you ever need something, you know how to get it. The gist of it was, there will be a time where you need some information and you know how to get it now. Which is, you know, pull fingernails, pull teeth.
Make him listen to Bob Saget's stand-up.
But finally, this was a flashback I thought was interesting. There was a lot of CG in this episode. Did you notice that?
Yeah, with the war and all that going on.
Yeah, but I love the shot of him standing there and you see the burn oil wells in the background. That was a cool shot.
Yeah.
And there was even a Kate. Kate's dad was there.
Well, not real dad,
Desert
but...
Storm. Yeah, the guy that she calls dad, and it turns out her real dad is this total a-hole that she blows up. But the guy that she loves... He's looking at a picture of Kate while...
That's when I realized who he was.
Yeah, he's sitting right there across from Saeed. So there's all these weird connections on the show that, you know, the writers are just teasing us.
The whole 6 degrees of separation.
But I realize now, maybe part of the show, like even the episodes that get on my nerves, if I go online and people find these little clues, it makes me more interested. Like, hey, that's really neat. You know, I'll forgive it because this is kind of cool. Like the whole hieroglyphic thing, that was really cool. And I was really sucked in. What's going to happen? And when he reset it, I was like, no, come on. Don't let him reset it.
But the Hatch is its own character on the show.
But it looks like in, 2 weeks, a new episode, and it'll deal with...
another break.
It'll deal with Claire's missing 2 weeks.
No.
I don't really like Claire Anal very probes. Much because of her voice. Like, when she... You're hunting me, Charlie! Just her voice gets on my nerves. Jesus.
Crumpets.
And there was a nice little subplot there. I wouldn't even call it a subplot. Story B. What the hell was that about? It was Sawyer trying to track a noisy frog down. And he gets Hurley to help him. And finally, you know, he keeps making fat jokes.
Is it
jokes.
Outside his window while he's sleeping?
Yeah, it's like... makes a weird sound, but it sounds like a predator snort, actually. But Hurley has a stash of food, and he's got this giant gallon, I don't know, multiple gallons of ranch dressing that he's eating. Is that going to go bad? And he goes, actually, it says in room temperature the last 7 years. I think Sawyer calls Hurley Rerun at one point in this episode. Rerun.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's one part where he goes, all right, dude, I get it. I'm fat, okay? That's right, I'm fat. And you know what? Everyone likes me. And I thought that was a good scene. And he even goes, I'm sorry, man. I just want to get this frog. And they finally find the frog. And Hurley's like, you know what I'm thinking? I could go carry him to another beach, let him go. He can maybe meet a nice lady frog and everything will be okay. He goes, yeah, that was one idea. And then he goes, and crushes the frog in his hand. Basically... Sawyer's an a-hole.
Yes, basically. Yes.
And is that the only tree frog in the whole jungle? I doubt it.
No.
But did you have in the back of your mind maybe it's like a poison dart frog or something?
I know.
Or it's one of the hallucinogenic frogs they're going to start licking. And...
Yeah, he's going to start tripping. But they never went back to that story, so that's not what happened. Maybe it was too obvious or something. Good loss. Can't wait to see what happens next week. Let's talk about Battlestar Galactica. All right, Battlestar Galactica this week, guest starring John Hurd.
Yeah.
They're having guest stars like every other episode now. Doesn't it seem like we've got Dana Delaney, Michelle Forbes, we got
Bill
Duke.
Everybody's trying to get into the great show that it is.
Yeah, and this episode shows that once again, someone may be good at one job, but not necessarily good at another. They cannot get anyone to command the Pegasus that's worth a damn. Where you like, are you kidding me? But I love that Starbuck...
Or you think that the command of the Pegasus is kind of cursed.
Yeah, it's got to be. And they call it the Beast. And Galactica is the Bucket. Of course, Starbuck is over there annoying the hell out of everyone, which I love. That's what she does, right?
Troublemaker.
Did it bother you guys that this episode opens up and it seems that Duala has moved on since Billy's death and she's banging Apollo?
She is banging
him. She was into
him
for a while.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't it rub you the wrong way? Like, oh, has she moved on fast? I mean, he kind of risked his... I mean, I don't like her anymore.
Well, I think I should have made a bet because I remember several episodes back when I was like, doesn't it look like that, you know, Duala and Lee kind of have something going? You guys are like, no, not really. I'm like, yeah, the way he kind of looked at her.
Yeah, you know,
fight.
They hinted at that a flirtation, but I didn't think anything would happen with it. And in fact, I will make a prediction that he's going to blow her off very soon. Like, you know what? This isn't going to work. Now, what happens is they're running training exercises with raptors for some reason.
For trainees.
Yeah, for the trainees. You got to train pilots all the time because
they're always dying.
I would not want to be a pilot in this fleet. What happens is they get some kind of distress call and they jump. And you don't know what happens to him because there's too much lunar ionosphere-type crap that's some kind of mumbo-jumbo there.
EIM.
Yeah.
EMI, electromagnetic interference.
Hey!
Yeah, thanks,
look
Mr.
at the
Spock.
Big brain on Steven. Yeah, Mr. Spock. It's logical. Now, what happens is they're all freaking out or whatever, and John Hurd blames Starbuck for this because she's the
CAG.
She's in charge, but, you know, she's always screwing off, getting drunk and stuff. But there was this great scene where Apollo was yelling at her about, no, you always got to be the rebel and all this. And he mentions getting shot by her, and it totally just cripples her when he says
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell she just feels
so guilty.
She feels so guilty with that. He can bring it up all the time now. Well, that's not as bad as when you shot me. Oh! It's like, man, I can win every argument now. It's like, man, I could guilt trip her all night long. But there's such great chemistry between those characters that they love each other so much. It's awesome.
Because that's the one thing he did say that, you know, he liked about her on the Galactica because she ruffled feathers. But because he was kind of in command on that other
right.
ship. Ruffling the feathers, she was ruffling his feathers. In
yeah,
that case.
Yeah. It's like now
not
you're
the, you're I'm the boss and you're killing me.
Yeah, no, you're really taking me off, which is great. What happens is, of course, you could tell that John Hurd is very annoyed that Admiral Adama's son is there, kind of watching him over. And he even says, we need to make a jump and find these pilots because Starbuck pretty much figures out from
their last
signal that yeah. they said distress call, going to investigate, basically something like that. So he wants to go and get his pilots. So naturally, Apollo says, no. The Cylons have been known to do this. It's a trap. So he tells his dad, and he goes, okay, we're going to just send 5 raptors, you know, 2 for rescue, 3 for support, and see what happens. But for some reason, I guess the guy is sick of being...
He doesn't want to be a toady.
Yeah, he wants to do the right thing and kind of maybe win all of his crew over even more. And it turns out he was like a brilliant engineer. It's like Scotty commanding the Enterprise or something.
Yeah.
He knows everything about the engine room, but nothing about command.
He thinks everything is cut and dry.
He even explains everything should work like a clock, fine-tune instruments, but he doesn't realize these are people and everyone's
right.
different. And you gotta,
he treats them like... machines.
Yeah, he treats them, you do your job, you do everything's a cog in the machinery. But he's wrong, obviously, because they jump to save the pilots and
they go against orders.
They're dead inside the rafters, and right then 3 base stars appear, which was really cool. That was a good oh shit moment, wasn't
yeah.
it? Oh
exactly.
shit! And it's like they're launching nukes. Like as soon as they appear, they just start launching missiles. And right before then, there's a great scene where Apollo is saying, arrest this man, take this man in custody. And he's saying at the same time where they're talking over each other. And the guy chooses loyalty. And then when the Cylons attack, he goes, you got better things to do. So he lets him go. They can't jump. While this is all going on, there's a whole other subplot going on. And that's a girl stows away on Galactica to get an abortion. Where you guys, what the hell? Where you guys...
I understood where they were going. I knew where they were going.
Yeah, I knew where they were going too, but she looked like she was like 9 months pregnant or something.
Yeah.
She was like really
old.
Showing. I don't think you can have an abortion at that point.
Sure you can.
Really?
Yep.
A space abortion? Ejected yeah. into space. But that's just wrong.
What was that?
But, you know, of course, Rosalind's running for re-election with... I gotta be honest with you. I find the whole re-election in space and everything kind of ridiculous plot line.
Has it been that long enough? It's got to be 4 years between elections.
No.
Yeah, they explained it earlier in the season that
okay.
there would be an election. But at the same time, I'm like, do they really have time for this crap? I mean, but I guess they do. And so the whole issue of abortion, should people be allowed to have abortions while the population...
is dying.
Right.
Yeah.
And you kind of, it gets you thinking. You may be pro-choice, you may be against it or whatever, but then you start to think about it. And that's what's really cool about this show. The issue of abortion, I was like, wow, they're bringing that up on the show? But naturally, Roslyn agrees that abortion should be illegal.
Because of Dr. Baltar.
Right.
Yeah, you like how he stabs her in the back.
Yeah, and that was a great moment at a press conference. You think he's going to back her up, and he goes, I am opposed to this. I will be running for president, basically. And I love one of the reporters immediately says, is this a one-issue campaign? It's like he just announced it. But I'm not against abortion. Is this a one-issue campaign? Basically pulled the rug out from under, and you see what he's up to.
Well, he's mad ever since he got that letter from her.
But did you?
You know, she didn't trust him.
But I was kind of thinking about, why are the Cylons still attacking them? I thought they had a plan, and, you know, the resurrection ship, they can really die. But then I realized that was all a distraction for what the abortion stuff, and the Cylons want Baltar to be the president.
Oh, yeah.
It's all part of the plan and stuff going on. I don't know what it is, but I think it was all related. John Hurd saves everyone and fixes FTL, and he dies. And that was a good moment. Where he saves everyone.
I like that it takes three...
Yeah.
Three little...
three valves. One, two, and the last one, damn, it's a pain in the ass. That's what happens. When you're changing a tire, there's one lug nut that won't go. Damn it! You know, it's exactly the same way on the Pegasus.
And as he dies, the weight of his hand pulls to save him.
Yeah, that was good stuff. The guy was a jackass. He just wasn't right for command. And then what happens? Apollo gets promoted to Commander Adama. And he takes over the Pegasus.
Wait for next week.
Now, next week, it looks like it's an all Cylon point of view episode. It looks like it's from Sharon's point of view.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, when she's resurrected.
Get resurrected.
That ought to be interesting. I can't wait to see it.
You can see that it kind of looks like she feels really guilty about shooting Adama.
They keep alluding to the fact that her model is kind of screwed up, that thinks it's human or wants to be human and sympathizes. So maybe it is a flaw. Maybe we'll find that out. But, I can't wait to see what happens. I really love this show. How much do you guys love this show?
I bet you're glad I made you watch
show.
It.
What? Wait, you didn't make me watch
it. I know. No, but I did ask you when it first came out if you watched it.
But I did. Had watched it.
Yeah, yeah. I know.
Bastard! You bastard!
I just like trying to take credit for it.
Jason got me to watch it.
Hey guys, it's time for the Movie Drops game! It's time for the Movie Drops game! The game where I play sound clips and you try to guess what the movie is. Are you ready to play?
Oh yeah!
Why, yes, we are ready to play!
Let's play!
Alright, last week I believe Vanessa went first, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So let's have Steven go first! Are you ready, Steven?
I'm ready.
Good luck, Steven.
Remember, don't guess until after the third clue. Here we go, clue number one.
Oh my gosh, he used me. I was used. I was used. Cool.
All right, and here's clue number two.
My God, you're gay.
Oh, come on.
All right, and clue number three.
I think you need your balls reattached.
All right, Steven, what's the movie?
American Pie.
You got it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Correctamundo.
All right, Vanessa, here we go. Here's clue number one.
I don't know about these chicks. Yeah, they're only good for one thing.
What are you supposed to do with them for the other 23 hours and 45 minutes of the day?
Is that all it takes, 15 minutes?
All right, and here's clue number two.
Handy up because I don't get my allowance until Friday.
Well, you get an allowance.
When I'm a good boy, I do.
All right, and clue number three.
If you can't be an athlete, be an athletic supporter.
All right, Vanessa, what's the movie?
It sounds like Grease to me.
That is right. It's Grease. All right, guys, we are tied 1-1.
Woo-hoo.
Now, here's for the hardest movie drops ever.
Good luck, Steven.
Say our name to say who gets to go first. Okay, Vanessa?
That'll work.
But yeah, you have to do it after the third clue so all our right listeners can play along with us. All right, here we go. Clue number one.
Every minute you don't tell us why you're here, I cut off a finger.
Mine or yours?
Yours.
And here's clue number two.
Did you hear that? Yeah. It's a dick fur. What's a dick fur? To pee with.
All right, and clue number three.
My objective? Well, I object to taking a girl out, you know, and buying her dinner, and then she won't put out for you.
All right. What's the movie?
It would be, oh my God, I just blanked on it.
3 seconds, Steven. One, two.
Better guess it, because I don't know.
All right, Vanessa, you get a free guess.
I'm just going to take a wild shot in the dark and say, Porky's, I don't know.
No, it's a Chevy Chase movie where he's the cop.
All right, and here is a...
Fletch?
Fletch.
Here is a fourth clip. No, I'm sorry, that is
not
a
Fletch.
Wrong guess, Steve.
Oh.
Here is a fourth drop.
You mean you don't feel a certain degree of urgent pressure on the inner wall of your bladder now, right at this moment?
No, I'm fine.
All right, guys, what's the movie?
Go ahead, Steven. I'll let you have it.
Spies Like Us.
That's it, Steven.
Correcto mundo.
Steven wins movie drops.
Woo! Yay!
Yay!
Not by default this time.
Now, Vanessa, you have a chance to
tie?
To not lose horribly by guessing which movie this is from.
Yes.
Here we go. The bonus movie drop.
Bonus.
Are there any hillbillies up there? Any more Lewis?
Yeah, there's some people up there that ain't never seen a town before.
All right, Vanessa, what's the movie?
Okay, well, it's either one of two movies. I'm thinking either Deliverance or Next of Kin, so I don't know.
Deliverance, you got it!
Okay, good.
Woo!
Yay, good job, Vanessa.
Dang, I can now hang my head high.
The Great Deliverance. All right, guys, thanks for playing.
Oh, thank you. Yay!
Hey, this is Marissa, the spokes chick from Nowhere in Mulberry, reminding you not to forget, each Friday at 10 o'clock Central Time, the chat room at namechat.com will feature the cast of Nowhere in Mulberry. So if you want to rant, rave, or just shoot the breeze, join us at 10 o'clock Central Time, Fridays on namechat.com. That's NIMCHAT.com. See you there.
You ready to do the news?
Does he do me that way?
All right, Vanessa, what do you got this week in the news?
All right, a self-proclaimed psychic and fortune teller pleaded guilty Thursday to bilking elderly clients in South Florida out of more than $2 million over an 8-year period. Linda Marks, 57, of Delray Beach, was accused of preying on the elderly and people suffering from incurable diseases by telling them that she could cure them by praying over their money.
Nice.
So she pleaded guilty to fraud.
Psychics!
Yeah, and admitted cheating her elderly victims out of $2 million. And, of course, the police detective said that he used his position in the police force to help get her out of jail and avoid violating probation. But she admitted to taking money and other property from women and elderly men. Marks faces up to 15 years in prison, and sentencing is scheduled for May 10th. They would have to give her money so she could pray over it.
Yeah, anybody who says they're going to help you and they're like, can I have your wad of cash, please? And it's like, I think her
intentions...
I'm
going to do something you can't do. I'm going to pray over it.
Exactly. Those damn psychics.
Most surveys about sex find impossibly that men have had far more partners than women, typically 2 to 4 times as many. Either there are a bunch of phantom females out there, or somebody is lying. Or perhaps men just have lousy memories. Dr. Norman Brown at the University of Michigan has done several studies on the apparent flaw in these surveys. The latest was a web-based survey of 2,065 heterosexual non-virgins with a median age around 40. The women reported on average 8.6 lifetime sexual partners. The men claimed 31.9. Rather than let it go at that, Brown and his colleagues later in the survey asked the participants to rate the truthfulness of their responses. 5% said they lied. In addition, more than 10% said they knew their answer wasn't accurate. So, and this is just moments after the survey. Oh, yeah, I kind of lied. So they gave an answer.
Are you calling me a liar?
And then 2 minutes later admitted they had lied about it. But there's more than the discrepancy. Men and women use different methods to calculate their past flings. Women rely on a raw count, whereas men will rely on flawed strategy. So like a woman will say, well, there was John and Rick, whereas men will say, you know,
there's the redhead, the brunette, the...
Yeah.
You're shitting me.
They'll do a rough approximation, and usually, and 90-some percent of the time, they'll go an overestimation because they want to sound better.
They're trying to impress their buddies.
Yeah, exactly. Brown's next survey will be done by telephone to find out if people lie and fudge as much as in that medium, or if the web-based survey invites such behavior. So that's his next study to find out, do people lie more over the phone when you're talking to them, like voice-to-voice, or do they lie more over the internet to see how skewed the numbers might be.
I don't see any difference because anonymity is anonymity, you know?
What true. Can Brown do for you?
So, I mean, is it true? I mean, men really do. They lie about it a lot. Women, too. I won't lie about that. Some women do.
I think that people shouldn't even come up with surveys and stuff like this because no one really cares when they...
I'm going to do a survey. Well, how many people hate surveys?
And you say that, you know, it's like, that men say they have more sexual partners than women. What if all the guys are having the same sexual partner, the one slut out there, if you will, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, they're not asking her, oh, I've had 100 partners, and...
Well, I think it's just...
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more like the girls that are going out to the bars...
My ability.
Exactly.
Not using their abilities.
Well, the thing that gets me is, you know, you have these guys that brag. I've been with 30 women. I'm sorry, but for me, that's a turnoff.
No, yeah, let me say this. Like, you know, guys who have fellow friends, anyone who does that, like, hey, Steven, I banged 80 broads. You'd just be like, first of all, I don't care. And second of all, you're a damn liar. You know, because anyone who has doesn't need to brag about it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's but what, I, you know, I say I work with a bunch of guys like that. You know, they want to go to the strip clubs every night. And it's like, I'm not giving my money up to these girls that I'm not going home with.
Yeah. You're despicable.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's fine. You want to look at naked girls, but tell me you're spending $300 in a club every night.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Man, she likes me. It's like,
no, she likes
she
that
doesn't.
$300 you gave her, dude.
She likes the money that you're spending on her.
Exactly.
You block it.
Say, how would you feel if, like Steven, you met a girl, she's great and everything, then you found out she's been with 30 men? Would that be a turnoff to you?
I don't know that I would really think about it. I would try not to think about it, I guess. If you really liked her,
been
it's
in
like...
bed and sweaty with 30 other men. It's like,
It would probably be kind of a turnoff, but, you know, it depends on how much you like her.
If you loved her, it would be okay.
But,
I'm sure all 30 men loved her, too.
This is, that's my other point, would be like, well, if she's been with 30 guys, then, you know, it's not all that special.
Exactly.
It's not all that exciting for her.
Yeah, it's like,
you know, the sex thing is not a, you know, it's not an intimate thing with her.
Well, yeah, you're like, is she comparing me to all those 30 guys?
I'm not thinking about comparing. It's like, it's not an intimate thing. It's just a mechanical thing for her.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm the kind of guy who doesn't want to know any of that stuff. I don't really care about past boyfriends or any. I don't want to know. Don't care. It's all in the past.
Let's say you got a girlfriend that you've been with for years. You buy her some sexy lingerie, all right? And you break up. Now, is it wrong for her to wear that for another boyfriend?
No, I wouldn't care.
I don't care.
Once you're out of the relationship, who cares?
Okay, but what if you're the new boyfriend and you know her ex gave it to her?
I don't. I honestly don't think
that's
I
a question you're not going to ask. Who got that for you?
Well, if you say,
what a nice number. Did your ex-boyfriend get that for you?
Yeah, that
is that the underwear
that,
your daddy
I mean,
laid out for you? What's that on
if a girl is in their negligee and coming on to me and say, "How do you like this? My ex got this for me."
If you are
the moment's ruined already.
if you're wondering where she got the outfit, there's a problem.
Because you're probably wanting to wear it yourself.
Where'd you get that great outfit?
That's very lovely.
Did they make it in my size?
Compliment my eyes.
So exciting.
All right, Vanessa, what other story you got this week?
All right.
On Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 25.
Yes, thank you. This is so much George Clooney's year that a seller of Hollywood memorabilia thinks he can earn up to $100,000 by auctioning off the costume the Oscar-nominated actor wore in one of his biggest flops, Batman and Robin.
End of
Joe
story.
Maddalena of the auction house Profiles in History says he plans to sell off Clooney's costume from the 1997 movie that some fans list as among the worst ever made.
It was a
f***ing disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah. He said, Maddalena said the latex bodysuit contains all sorts of extras. Nipples, a cape, and a cowl, gloves, bat ears, and a utility belt. But the auctioneer said that the costume would probably have sold for about $30,000 two or three years ago when Clooney was less of a star than he is now.
Wow.
Is he really a big star?
He's nominated for a lot of Oscars this year.
Is he?
For directing, writing, acting. He's got it all.
I'm going to say masturbating in a minute. Am I allowed?
By the way. All right. In Los
I love
Angeles,
that guy.
In divorce papers, Nick Lachey is seeking spousal support from Jessica Simpson.
No,
and
right on, buddy.
He wants his jewelry back. In court papers filed Friday in response to Simpson's December 16th divorce filing, Lachey cited irreconcilable differences for the of the three-year marriage. Lachey, 32, also asked for miscellaneous jewelry and other personal effects, part of Simpson's earnings from after the date of separation and other assets. Lachey said he and Simpson separated December 13th, although she claims it was November 23rd. The couple who starred in their own MTV reality show, Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica,
great show.
Had no prenuptial agreement in her petition.
Idiots.
Lachey, who gained his fame as a member of the boy band 98 Degrees, had more earning power when the couple wed in October 2002. However, Simpson's fame skyrocketed during the marriage. The 25-year-old singer-actress reportedly earned more than $30 million last year.
Can you really call her an actress?
Yeah, including earnings from a big-screen debut playing Daisy Duke in The Dukes of Hazzard.
You know, I do know that lately on TV that those things will pop right into you.
It is an intriguing sensation.
But I guess, okay, when they got married, he should have asked the prenup because he was making more money than she was. Boy, does he probably feel like an idiot now, because now he has to beg her for money. I think spousal support alimony should go out the door.
You know, he should be given that money, I think.
Why?
Why not?
Because
turnabout's fair play.
Yeah.
I don't think either should get money.
I think he should get half of her earnings.
Well, I agreed that no one should. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
Unless there's only one condition that I think it's necessary, and that's if during the course of the relationship they go, you know what? I want you to stay home, and I will take care of you, and it's a discussion. It's not just because one earns more money.
When that happens, what should happen is, I think her parents are her managers. He should have said, baby, I'm going to be your manager. That's a way to get the money.
Hey, where are the white women at?
That's what he should have done.
He should have became a manager, quit his little cheesy singing.
Yeah.
Man, what happened to 98 Degrees? Did they break up or something? Or I never listened to one song of theirs. But
did anyone ever
skip to the end?
Yeah, who knows?
All right. In Canberra, a tiger's roar might be scary, but Australian researchers have found that a predator's crap is just as potent. Yes, Stephen, your crap is potent. Researchers at the University of Queensland said Friday they had successfully tested a tiger's dung repellent, warding off wild goats for at least 3 days. Goats wouldn't have seen a tiger from an evolutionary point of view for at least 15 generations.
How'd you like to test dung for a living?
I know. But they recognize
the smell of the predator. Since we started this turd hunt.
But they do recognize the smell of a predator. So what they have a multi-billion dollar market out there that they might have just tapped into because the repellent made of fatty acids and sulfurous compounds extracted from tiger crap Also worked on feral pigs, kangaroos, rabbits, might even deter deer, horses, and cattle, too.
So farmers can put that out to keep the pest out of their land.
Well, it's like fox urine. Fox urine keeps away rabbits when you have a garden.
Why don't you go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
So it's kind of on that same line. It'll keep away, because they say that pests, animals, can cause about $420 million worth of damage.
That's a lot of damage.
Yeah, because they eat their, you know, their young stock.
How much crap do they got to buy?
I'm so wasted.
I think it might be a shitstorm.
Yeah, what do you tell a date? So what do you do? I'm a doctor. What about you? Oh, I research crap.
A huge cloud of shit. Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
Okay, Foggy, I think you've played every shit drop we have, or anything related to turds or poop. Thank you, sir.
And just a side note, it's not a big story.
The last one. I'm sorry.
Britney Spears, you remember the whole thing about her having her kid in her lap and all that. Now she thinks that she's going to be killed just like Princess Diana.
Well, look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Princess Diana. Because she was talking about that the paparazzi were following her, driving recklessly, and she had to pull over and ask the police to help her because she said... they asked if they could help her.
So now she's like...
It's their fault.
Oh, wow.
No, it's paparazzi's fault.
Yeah. Those bastards.
This reminds me of that whole Michael Jackson, you know, where he hung the baby over the railing. It reminds me so much of all that, how people are just like, oh, how could you?
Oh, you know, no, that also reminds me of the crocodile hunter when he was messing with the crocodile and holding his baby. That guy's a freaking idiot. Jesus.
What train? Yeah, it's like, you know what? Those are unpredictable animals, yet he thinks that he could predict what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's like people's pets for lifetimes all of a sudden reach up and eat their face off.
Ouch!
Yeah, I mean, the guy's an idiot.
Yeah. That's all I've got.
All right, Vanessa. Thanks for doing the news this week. All right, Steven. Let's do the DVDs.
Get out the crash cart.
All right. Cool Daddy. Gonna do the DVDs segment. We don't have Bill with us this week. He's still busy moving to another home and
zombie-proof home.
Zombie-proof fortified. All right, Steven, what do we got in the news this week?
It's tiger poop.
Oops. All right, Steven, what do we got with DVDs this week?
I was getting into it.
You were into that.
Man, that's some good stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got the release of the 1982 classic, Class of 1984.
Who's in that?
Who knows?
well, you researched that well.
No,
you've got troubles, Mac.
All right.
Harry King?
What other movies coming out?
Michael J. Fox?
Ah, yes, Michael J. Fox is in that, isn't
Roddy
he?
Roddy McDowell, the Van Patten kid. What's his name?
Vince Van Patten.
Dick Van Patten?
Vince.
No, the son.
Nicholas?
Vince Van Patten.
Are we talking eight is enough here?
No, not Vincent, the other one.
Vince Van Patten?
Tim Van Patten.
Tim Van Patten? Who the hell's that?
He was the one who didn't really do anything.
Huh?
Never mind.
Steven is my name.
All right, Steven, what other DVD you got? Let's move on from this audio death.
Okay, we've got Domino.
Ooh, Domino with Keira Knightley.
Yeah, did anyone see that one?
No, I have not, but I know Bill hated it. She is nominated for Academy Award this year, but for another movie, Pride and Prejudice.
Ah, one of them period pieces.
Yes.
Not that kind of period either.
I can't believe she is nominated for Academy Award.
Wow.
That's all I got to say. She does not seem like a good actress to me at all.
The Jacket.
The
with,
Jacket.
Yes,
is that good?
Adrian Brody. I liked it a lot.
It's about a coat. Very boring story. That's all I got.
She loses her jacket on a subway and it's returned.
Oh, that's a nice jacket. Thanks.
Movie over.
And credits. All right, Steven, what other exciting movies?
We got the collector's edition of Midnight Cowboy.
Ooh!
That's like
Scooby-Doo. That's some fake excitement right there.
Yeah.
No,
woo!
Midnight Cowboy is a great movie, and it's got a great score by John Barry.
That's right.
Let me tell you another funny story, New Jack.
Okay.
Okay. We got the Rent 2-disc full frame and widescreen special edition.
Yes, the Broadway musical made into a movie. Kind of unstable. Grease was awesome. Rent, I haven't seen it, but not too excited about seeing it. That's
stable.
Right. That is one big pile of shit.
Hey, come on, Jeff Goldblum.
Tiger shit.
You've got Nicolas Cage's last effort, The Weatherman.
Hmm.
Are you interested in that one?
I'm
not sure if he's interested. That's kind of a...
Chlorophyll? More like borophyll.
You know what?
But it's the Weatherman who gets revenge on all the guys.
It looked interesting. I remember we played the trailer on one of our episodes. It seemed like an eternity ago. I think it was like episode 7. Can you guys remember that?
Oh, that was ages ago.
Wow. It's like I'll see a movie come out and it's like, we talked about that like 10 million episodes ago.
It got 7.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
I'm so bedraggled.
I was bedraggled.
Which is in my vocabulary now because of this show.
And it's probably in
thank
yours.
You, Project Runway.
And last but not least either. In our DVD selection here would be Vice Squad.
Holy crap! Vice Squad? That was like
Graham
starring
Rod.
Wings Hauser.
Yes.
Who is the father of what actor?
Cole Hauser.
Cole Hauser's dad.
Yay!
That is a great movie. If no one has seen Vice Squad, rent it or buy it.
Buy
it's
it.
About hookers, pimps. Oh, it's a great movie.
Yes, you gotta love Blue Chip.
Hollywood Vice.
Dun, dun.
And Princess.
Your mom.
Hey. My mom's not a hooker, you bastard.
Not being used to my ability.
What does that mean, Steven? All right, Steven, thanks for doing the DVD segment for us.
Thank you.
Alright guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 25 of Nowhere in Mulberry. We've had a lot of fun doing this show.
We'll be going on hiatus for the next... No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, like Lost.
Now, I just want to remind you to go to nimpodcast@gmail.com to send us any emails or complain about anything. Tell us what we're not watching that you'd like us to talk about. Maybe you don't want us to talk about anything. Tell us that.
And porn doesn't count.
Also, Friday night chats, Nowhere in Mulberry Friday night chats, go to nimchat.com, check us out. Also, go to nowhereinmulberry.com, that's where you can download the show, and you can also look on the right-hand side and check out our message board, our forum, and talk to us and stuff.
Yeah.
Last but not least, call and leave us a voicemail at 1-206-202-3491, and it'd be great to hear from you. All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in this week, and hopefully we'll have some shows to talk about next week. It looks like a lot of shows are going on hiatus until the end of Sweeps Week, where they'll have the gigantic awesome shows.
But we won't.
Right. Huh?
We're not going on hiatus.
Yeah, we will not ever go on hiatus. Well, maybe we are. I'm kind of tired.
Struggling.
Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit.
Sexual identity.
Depression. Ever since the whole host change thing, it's made me sad. And
all my travels.
Your life's hard.
To think that I couldn't...
Check my blog for my photos.
Guys, I
up.
Didn't have to change hosts. It came out. I didn't have to mess with anything.
Jason!
I got a wallet.
No!
He's dead. But thank you very much, everybody. I'll see you again next week. Along with Steven and Vanessa. Maybe Bill.
Yay!
Who knows? We'll see. Bye.
be Tom Cruise!
Now this is podcasting.